Right to Life movement is very well known for their advocacy against abortion. There's a growing voice on, I guess we'd say, the opposite side of that idea, which could be called the Right to Die movement. Legally assisted suicide for terminally ill people is law in several ways in several states. Once again, New Jersey legislators are trying to get a bill passed and signed into law, which would bring that concept to this state as well. My next guest is a New Jersey physician who's opposed to this idea and says what it claims versus what it creates are two very different situations people need to be made aware of. And to help us become more aware of this, we are joined now by Dr. Edward Fleming. Thanks for being here today, Doctor.
Oh, my pleasure, Chris. Thank you for having me.
And learn about Dr. Fleming's practice, MorningstarFHC.com. Learn more about the medical services that he provides. Now, this all ties around the bill in the Assembly. It's A-1504, and as I said in the introduction, this isn't the first time that Democrats in the State House have tried this. This goes back to 2012, and it passed both chambers, but former Governor Christie did not want to sign this. There's hope among the proponents of this bill that current Governor Murphy will indeed sign it into law, and it is law in various degrees in different states. What is it that A-1504 proposes?
So what A-1504 proposes, and as it's entitled, which is the Aid in Dying Act, is that it would allow physicians to provide assisted suicide services to patients in the New Jersey area. Now, it's of important note. You just mentioned some other bills had been passed in other states. You know, one thing that's not well known is that, you know, doctor-prescribed suicide sounds humane until the facts are known. And that's why over 200 bills in 30 states have been defeated from the mid-1990s until the present. And why in this past year, assisted suicide bills were defeated in even heavily Democratic states like Connecticut, Massachusetts, and New York, despite multi-million dollar lobbying efforts by one particular group, Compassion and Choices, which is formerly known as the Hemlock Society, but they changed their name to Compassion and Choices after some focus groups seemed to indicate that would be a much better received name for their group. But the main point being that, you know, many of these bills have been attempted again and again to be passed, and time and again they are defeated. But it's just that after these multiple attempts with multi-million-dollar lobbying efforts on our assemblymen and women that you know do gradually move that sort of movement, that sort of I guess cultural trend forward.
Now, given the concept, the idea that A-1504 is promoting, and as it's referred to as the Aid in Dying for the Terminally Ill Act, one would hope it's fine-tooth comb detailed so that someone who is, you know, can just be influenced or even abused and forced into a situation that has a serious negative consequence. And certainly a doctor could be a little more loose with legitimacy in promoting an idea versus a genuine need. Does A-1504 properly detail a procedure?
It really has a lot of loopholes and laxities in it. In A-1504, for instance, your family member, you know, son, daughter, spouse, could take their life, could die from taking lethal drugs, and you wouldn't know about it until he or she is dead. No family notification is required in advance. So, I mean, that sometimes has been the case where there's a daughter who has some even treatable form of type of serious illness, but one that's nonetheless treatable, but she decides not to go on in that situation, oftentimes because of having just depression or feeling overwhelmed at that moment. And then other family members don't even know about it until after the case.
As far as, you know, as far as the definition, I guess another definition would be terminal disease, which even with a finite word as terminal disease, there are some terminal diseases where with treatment medication, you could live a reasonably full life. Might not be the most convenient full life, but you could still exist and be a functioning part of society.
That's exactly correct. For example, under A1504, diabetes could be eligible. People with people with diabetes could be eligible for assisted suicide, because diabetes can be both incurable and irreversible, though persons with that condition could live virtually normal lives with insulin. And as absurd as that sounds, there is documentation that this has occurred under Oregon's assisted suicide law. In official reports from Oregon, diabetes is noted as the underlying terminal condition, as you say, as it's written as, that made that patient eligible for the lethal prescription. So, in other words, people are eligible for assisted suicide under proposed Bill A1504 that are not necessarily dying. So if they would take their medication, they could, as you say, live fairly normal lives.
With Dr. Edward Fleming about A1504 going through the New Jersey State Assembly, Aid in Dying for the Terminally Ill Act is its official title. Dr. Fleming's practice information about that can be found at MorningstarFHC.com. And you are listening to Issues and Ideas. I think, too, in Oregon, and I think in a few of the other states where legislation like this has become law, the overall suicide rates have gone up, if I'm not mistaken.
That is totally correct. Yes, sir. And in that, where, in the United States, suicide is a major health crisis. And the occurrence that you're speaking about is known as suicide contagion, where a study published in the Southern Medical Journal demonstrated that legalizing assisted suicide in states has led to a rise in overall suicide rates, assisted and unassisted, in those states. The results of the study show that after controlling for various socioeconomic factors and other state-specific issues, that assisted suicide states, that is, states that have passed assisted suicide laws, have a 6.3% increase in total suicide rates. And for individuals over age 65, the increased suicide rate was found to be an impressive 14.5%. As stated in the study's conclusion, that there is no evidence that physician-assisted suicide is associated with reductions in non-assisted suicide, but in fact increase that. And that's an important conclusion that they make at the end, because proponents of assisted suicide bills will make the assertion that often physician-assisted suicide may actually decrease non-assisted suicides, may actually decrease suicide in general. But in fact, the opposite seems to be the case.
A1504 is structured so it requires that a patient has to make two oral requests as well as a written request to a physician before they get the prescription for them to commit medically induced suicide. But the thing that a lot of people don't want to talk about, and I downloaded the bill, read the details, not the statement, the bill itself, you don't have to do these requests in person. So how would a doctor know that they're legitimate requests?
That's right. They wouldn't necessarily know. Since there's no requirement for those requests to be made in person, the oral request could be made over the telephone, under some amount of duress or pressure. As is known, that victims of domestic abuse, which include elder abuse, are extremely vulnerable to. They're extremely vulnerable to persuasion from their abusers. And also, the written request could be mailed or sent by electronic means to the physician, and without having any of this in-person verification. So, and lastly, A1504 permits the suicide drugs to be delivered to the party to the patient by a third party, potentially placing that lethal drug into the hands of the abusers. And unfortunately, it's just well known in medicine that, while the spouse of a person or adult children of a person are the two groups that are most likely their caregivers, caregivers of elder persons, it's widely recognized that, unfortunately, these groups are also the most likely abusers.
Just to wrap up here, to give a compare and contrast, as a physician, is there any instance where an idea like this is a legitimate option for patients? Let's take Senator John McCain's medical condition right now. If someone is facing that medical condition, isn't an idea like this something that should be made available to someone to that degree of illness?
Good question. And my answer to that would be no. I think because it doesn't address the person's underlying needs. It was well stated in the most recent defeat of a similar bill in New York, where the New York State Medical Assembly there said that physicians have always been trained to treat with compassion and help people in their needs and in their dying days, but not with causing their death. And people, even in the ICU, other of my colleagues who, you know, I work sort of in a, I see depression and human problems and despair and the front lines in the outpatient world. Other of my colleagues see it in the ICU, you know, in a different kind of way, in a sometimes a more immediate way. And the case in both of these, both inpatient and outpatient, is always that the person is afraid of being abandoned. The person has other needs. It's not pain, which is the biggest reason for wanting to end things. And we can control pain quite well. Well, frankly, if you're not having your pain controlled well, then you don't have the right doctor, and you can make a change in that. But it is more so the fear of being alone, of being a burden to your family, of having other kinds of support not there. And you know, when it comes down to it, I reflect back to what one of my colleagues in the ICU, who works in the cath lab as well, but in the ICU, who says that, you know, when it really comes down to it, and you tell that person that you're going to be there with them, that and not let them be abandoned, then that really changes their mind about all of this. And a lot of times we want to have that control at the end of our days to just prevent that thing that we fear the most, which is to be abandoned and forgotten, and our dignity, you know, forgotten in those last moments. But when we're assured that's not going to be the case, that there will be somebody there with us, then that changes things dramatically.
It is an idea which on its surface sounds like, for lack of a better phrase, compassion, but in the details, you can see many more questions and turns that above me on what we talked about here. So I'd advise you to go to the State House website, njleds.state.nj.us, and download a PDF copy of A1504, study the bill, learn more about the situation before you come to your personal conclusion on that idea and that concept, and learn more about the medical practices of Dr. Edward Fleming, MorningstarFHC.com. Dr. Edward Fleming, thanks for being here today.
Oh, thank you so much. And if I may add one more thing, if I could, very briefly, Chris.
Sure.
Is that the American Medical Association represents about 225,000 physicians, and the American College of Physicians represents about 175,000 physicians. These are the two largest physician bodies in the United States, and both of these bodies have a stance opposed to physician suicide. And even more noteworthy, the AMA Council on Ethical and Judicial Affairs recently, just this past May, published its recommendation to remain opposed to physician-assisted suicide. The same AMA Council also rejected the idea of the proposed language, aid in dying, as an extra category separate from physician-assisted suicide. So to this AMA Council on Ethics, they have left it all as physician-assisted suicide with no nuancing of language to make it more palatable. The words aid in dying, that is in the title of this upcoming bill, were chosen after careful focus groups by the organization Compassion and Choices found that aid in dying, quote-unquote, more favorably pushed forward bills for physician-assisted suicide. Now, if the AMA Council on Judicial Affairs and the ACP as an organization in total are against this, you know, how do we have the audacity to try to attempt passing a bill with the name aid in dying in it? I think it's just true that we you know, it's important to note where things are at in a more solid and deep medical ethical perspective, rather than what's being pushed culturally in a trendy but well financed sort of way right now.
And you've indeed done that. Thanks again, Doctor.
Oh, my pleasure, Chris. Appreciate it.